5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Happy Sunday. Dr. Tom Ianelli here on another Croc podcast. Angel Santana on the other side of the glass. Angel, I feel like we haven't done a podcast in about a month because guess what? We haven't done a podcast in about a month.
Yeah, you know, I look at it as two ships passing each other, you know, in the middle of the night, but always shining the light at each other, saying, I'm here, just not ready to dock yet.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I've enjoyed the time off. I took a vacation week, and then it turned out to be 4th of July, and you had a great idea. One of our favorite podcasts, I know we're not supposed to have a favorite, but that podcast with Ramon Ruta, with Breakfast with the President, probably might be my favorite. I mean, that was a 1.5 hour extravaganza, and we just let Ramon just go and tell his story. And I hope you all out there got a chance to listen to it. We did it intelligently this time. We sent it to you in two pieces rather than in one large section. So hope that you listen to one part, both parts. And then I think we had Mikey Benzea on while I was on vacation.
We did. And, you know, big shout outs to everybody for listening. It looks like they took the time during 4th of July. And I was actually looking at the statistics as you were speaking. And, you know, we had about 30 downloads on a holiday. So people were, you know, definitely tuned into part one and two. So we racked up about 60 downloads in 2 days. That was pretty good.
I'll tell you, that was a very special podcast. So if you haven't heard it, please go back. We're going to be back on the exercise for survivors module. And Angel, let's just kind of catch up because we even did one, started a new module also. So we're going to kind of get back to the exercise module. So just to, you know, when they used to have the old Batman series last week, Batman and Robin were in a big jam and this is what happened. So we started just with a general exercise for survivors episode to start the module. And then we talked about high intensity training and strength with our friends Lori and Buddha from CrossFit Take Back. We had Jim Quinn, the famous ex-bodybuilder, talking about pumping iron and getting strong. And then we last podcast on this module was our friend Aradhana Pal talking about the battle between the knife and fork and talking about nutrition. So today's podcast is going to be a nice, quick, but hopefully impactful one called Keeping Score. And is it really necessary for you to log or journal your exercise? Or, you know, a lot of people say when they see me write things down, they say, why are you doing that? Just go out and have a good time, take a walk in nature. And that's all well and good. But like most endeavors, one of the characteristics of human nature is I think we're doing more than we actually are. I think we have this gene in our brain, this sort of deceptive denial gene that really doesn't let us know how many calories we're actually eating or know how many hours we're actually exercising. And of those hours that we're exercising, how many of those hours are actually worthwhile? And we did talk a lot about high intensity training and how useful and important it is. So today, when we're talking about metrics and keeping score, we're going to be kind of, again, pushing you guys toward a little bit of getting your heart rate up a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So what do you think about that there, Mr. Angel?
That was a great recap. I think, you know, especially the way that we're in this summer months, it's all about, you know, getting your body back into shape. A lot of people do that. People always talk about New Year's as a resolution, but I think the summer months are really when we're outdoors the most. And of course, you know, there's never, ever a bad time to talk about good health, especially when we're dealing with, you know, all different types of cancers and everything like that. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that. And absolutely, there's not even a question about it. So just going to kind of go through things with you. We have a situation where it's a lot easier nowadays than it's been in the past to actually keep score of your workouts because of all of the applications, the apps that are available. Just to give you an example, on my phone, I have it. I'm going to go, let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 15 applications just on health and exercise. So there's the Apple Health, and we don't get paid a dime from any of these people, so I'm not making any endorsements. But I will tell you the ones that I think are great, and I'll tell you the ones that, you know, and when I'm, what would you say, when I'm showing you guys, or, mm-hmm. or you know, whatever the word is that popped out of my mind, I'll use two apps in particular. So I have the Apple Health, I have the Nike Run Club, I have HeartWatch, Tribe, Active Fitness, All Trails, Fitbit, TrailLink, CrossRope, Strava, FitIV, Whoop, PolarBeat, and Under Armour. So those are all the apps that I just have on my phone. And I think everybody out there, all the survivors probably have, if not 15 or maybe more, you know, than those. So getting whatever you have to find your system. And as you can see, I've had 15 apps. So I tried different things, and as you know, heartbeat is, you know, I was on heartbeat for a while, heart rate, and I had the polar beat, and I had the chest strap, and I've tried a bunch of watches and Fitbits and things. And I'll tell you the things that I like the most about that as far as keeping score. And then we'll talk about high intensity training, but as it relates to heart rate. So when we're talking about high intensity training, we're talking not about just your, you know, generic pedestrian walk, which we recommend entirely. If you remember our general session, we want you guys to be out there 5 to 6 days a week doing something at least 30 minutes a day and getting your heart rate up. Now, when we say that, that's a very vague term, getting your heart rate up. What does that actually mean? So we all have different levels of heart rates according to our age. And then if you really want to get sophisticated, which we are not going to do, there's all sorts of different testing and you know, exercise physiology and VO2 max and things like that, where you could also get information about your exertion. But just for the sake of argument, we're going to talk just about a couple of things, especially about heart rate. So we're going to look at the blue zone, the green zone, the yellow zone, the orange zone, and the red zone. There's actually even an exercise product called Orange Theory that tries to actually warm you up and get you into the orange zone, which is your hardcore zone. And that's kind of the area that we want you to be. We don't want you just taking a little bike ride on the trail and hitting your warm up or fitness. We want you even past the endurance and into that orange zone for about 150 minutes a week. So 150 minutes of your workouts. So if you're doing 6 days at 30 minutes, that's 3 hours. Out of those 3 hours, we want at least 2 hours, 120, 2.5 hours of that time. We want you to get your heart rate above your endurance into the hardcore. So for me, the old man, the tried and true number is you subtract your age from 220, and that's usually your maximum heart rate. So for me, my warm up goes up to about 90 something, I'll say 95, and then from 96 to I want to say 111. 96 to 111. I'm in my fitness, and then my endurance is 111 to 127. My hardcore is 128 to 142, and then my red line is 143 and up. So that's kind of the way you're looking at things. And so my job every week is to make sure that I try to get out there 6 days a week. I've been slacking lately for personal reasons. But be it as it may, that's my goal. Of that time, of those 6 days, I at least try to do 30 minutes a day. And again, I try to do 150 minutes in that orange zone, that hardcore zone. So that's kind of where we're at. Now, how do we monitor that? It's monitored by having a device that measures your heart rate. Now, most people, at least in my circles, have what's called an Apple Watch or an iWatch. And that by itself can measure your heart rate. And Apple has a bunch of really good fitness apps. However, there are some other apps that we're going to talk about. And we're particularly going to talk about two today. We're going to talk about FitIV, and we're going to be talking about Whoop. So on my wrists, I have on my left wrist, my Apple Watch, and on my right wrist, I have my Whoop, and we'll talk about both of them. Again, we do not get paid from these guys, although we would certainly accept any charity they would throw our way.
Yeah, and if they want, they can actually email us, you know, right back at podcast@crocvip.com.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you, Whoop and Fit IV, whoever you are out there. But in any case, let's start with the Fit IV. So, for example, I took a bike ride this morning and I basically did, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I did. And we're talking about keeping score. So what I did today was I did a 30-mile bike ride and I had about a 1,000-foot elevation gain. And my timing was about 3 hours. And I ended up being in that orange zone for 54 minutes and in my red zone for about 7 minutes. So I had at least 60 minutes today put toward that 150 minutes that I need for a week. So I'm in good shape for my week. If my week were to start today, I definitely think I could achieve what I need to achieve this week as far as my high intensity. So that is what's called your Fit IV. There's a million different apps out there. I'm a big fan of Strava as well, you know, which is really great for biking. The runners I had used in the past, the Nike Run Club, which I like, they give you similar data. The reason why I wanted to spend a few minutes on Whoop, and again, when I say a few minutes, I really mean a few minutes. The bad news is you have to wear something around your wrist, you know, 24/7. So that's a disadvantage. If you're a person that doesn't, my wife hates to wear anything on her body. That would be something she would not be interested in, but let's go through what it tells me. So it will tell me just for today, or I should say for last night, that last night I slept. Unfortunately, I didn't have a great night's sleep. I slept 4 hours and 55 minutes. Whoop told me that I needed to sleep 8 hours and 42 minutes. So I only really achieved 57% of my sleep performance. But again, you're getting metrics, you're getting information. More importantly, what was my strain? So over the week, my weekends, again, I'm trying to get back into a groove here, you know, for my weekdays as well. But my weekends are terrific. So last Sunday, my strain out of a top number of 21, and it's a logarithmic scale, I went 18.1, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday dropped to 11, 5, 9. Thursday, I had a good day. I went up to about 16. Friday, down to about 10, and today up to about an 18. So my strain has been fantastic. It also tells, at least on the weekends, it tells me my average heart rate has been 75. So that means that I've been doing a pretty damn good job, you know, getting out there and getting some work done. And my caloric burn per day is about 3,000 calories. My recovery, which is a combination of looking at what's called your heart rate variability, again, a metric that's a bit complex, and it looks between the milliseconds between your heartbeats, the sort of the relationship, or I guess the tension between the autonomic and the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. My numbers this week were, you know, not fantastic. My numbers should be around 32 to 36. And I've been, you know, around 32 this week. So nothing fantastic. And my resting heart rate, you're around 59, which is pretty good. My respiratory rate, about 15. So if you look now at this application, I could pretty much look at my weekly data. I could look at my monthly data. I can look every morning how my sleep was, you know, if I'm, you know, achieving my sleep, if I'm achieving my strain. And then at the end of the day, Angel, I go to a piece of paper that I still fill out old school every day. And it's sort of like a diary. And the diary tells me, okay, I did 30 minutes in the home gym. I did 3 hours biking. And this is the amount of high intensity training, how many minutes I did. And then at the end of the week, I'll say, okay, I did 5 out of 7 days. I did 3 out of 7 days. I did 6 out of 7 days. And I did X amount of hours. Because you want to try to do about 5 hours a week, between 5 and 8 hours a week. And you want to try to get that number again, 150. So It counts. Keeping score is important. If we don't, we really won't know. We'll think we're doing more than we are. And I think that keeping score for survivors trying to achieve your exercise goals is important. Angel, your thoughts?
My question to you is this, you know, as somebody who's gotten into the apps as well, and I don't want to make it all about the apps, but I think one question that always comes up for me, maybe for our listeners, is how often do you find it to be as reliable or as credible? I don't want to sit here and pick and choose what we think is good and what's bad. I want to, you know, drop names, but I'm just saying, based on the apps that you have just used, obviously you felt that they were pretty accurate, right?
I don't think I would use the word accurate. I would use the word consistent, meaning that you okay. want, you know, because I agree with you. Who the heck really knows if that's my resting heart rate or if that's my heart rate variability or if this is what, you know, is it perfect? As a matter of fact, you're kind of funny. I hope not, because there's been a couple of times where my heart rate went up to about 300 and I know that it didn't, because, you know, I was breathing fine and it was just some kind of a disconnect. So it's not perfect, but what it is, it's better than not having any sort of reference point. Basically, it's a waypoint. It's like, basically when you're mapping or you're doing any kind of, compass work in the wild, you have waypoints and you kind of mark your position. It just kind of gives you an idea. So, you know, you've done 5 out of 7 days. If you were to ask me without me looking at that paper, how many days I did last week, I would say I did 6 out of 7 days. Definitely. I feel like I did 6 out of 7. And when you look back, you know, the numbers don't lie. I did 4 out of 7. Or if I say I definitely did 7 hours of working out last week and the numbers say, no, you only did 4. And if you say I definitely got my 150 minutes of high intensity training, when you really got 60 or 40 or 50, so it's really not so much that you care about it being perfect, but you care about it being consistent. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. I think you made it more clear and put more peace of mind for me, because like I said, at the end of the day, even if it's not that perfect, it's still better than not knowing at all.
I also wanted to mention that in regard to the apps, they're generally very cheap. Some of them are actually free, to be honest with you. Strava has a free version. I happened to buy the version because I thought the app was so good for whatever it cost, $120 a year or whatever. I paid for it because I just wanted to support the people that were putting the research into the app, because it's so good. The Fit IV is very cost effective. I don't even know if it's $30 a year. It's so cheap. Whereas Whoop is very expensive. I'm sorry, Whoop. Yeah, I guess we're not going to get that sponsorship, but it is expensive. It's about $300 a year or something in that vicinity. But the data that I'm getting from Whoop, I mean, I'm not even knee deep in evaluating that data. There's so much more that I could be gaining. If I had more time to learn about it, I would, and it would be, it's just such a tremendous, it just gives you so much information.
I don't think you're disrespecting any of the apps. I mean, listen, what is $300 is considered expensive for you. It may be cheap for me. At the end of the day, it's whatever is best for you. And we're being very honest and truthful to the listeners that there are different types of apps and different type of price points, just like anything we do nowadays. Cable is expensive too. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a really good point. I forgot to mention this. So for a lot of people in my day, again, Angel, being like old enough to be your father, the original sort of metric or how you measured your exercise back in the day, the 80s, the 90s, was to wear what's called the pedometer. So people would be wearing this and you'd find out how many steps you're doing each day. And that was great. And there was definitely a step in the right direction, but definitely not sophisticated like heart rate and heart rate variability and resting heart rate and, you know, active heart rate and what zones are you in and how long are you in those zones and things like that. So I think the product that I even tried, because I pretty much tried them all, was one that's really loved by a lot of people. There's a very, very easy interface between the user. It's called the Fitbit. I think I mentioned that.
Yes.
And I'm not here to trash the Fitbit, because a lot of people absolutely love and live and die by the Fitbit. But I don't believe that it's as sophisticated as the Whoop. I think Whoop right now is probably like where the elite athletes, you know, are on Whoop, as opposed to like, you know, the Fitbit are more like the blue haired ladies and, you know, the bingo players. So, you know, that's my impression. Now, if Fitbit wants to sponsor us, I will tell everybody that it is the greatest freaking product on the face of the earth. But, you know, since they're not, I'm going to be telling you the truth about what my thoughts are.
And, you know, the thing too about it is, and we'll close this out on my end so that way you get to your last point, but I think also is that, like, my parents have Fitbit, and for them, they're not that computer and gadget savvy, and it works for them. So
it's very user-friendly. Exactly. Absolutely. Like, if your father were to look at Whoop, he would like basically like be looking at like nuclear equations.
No, he'd end up saying, Whoop, there it is, or there it goes.
Whoop, goodbye, see you later. So let me just tell the Croc Nation what we're doing. So we're going to keep going with this. Next week, we're going to go into squirts. That's going to be a really fun episode. I'm not going to tell you much about it. I'll let you guess. We're going to do a surprise episode as number 7. And then at number 8, we'll do 8 episodes in this module, and we'll put it all together for you all. Angel, it's always an honor to spend time with you. And I'm really, really glad to be back. And thank you for coming back and not ditching me over the last couple of weeks.
No, not at all. And I want to tell everybody from Croc Nation, you know, we're available every single weekday, 9 a.m. And don't forget, we have social media and we're available. You can tweet us. It's going to go to Dr. E. It's going to go to Angel. Nobody else. There's no other third party that's listening to those tweets and responses. So at Croc VIP. And if you haven't had a chance and you don't have the gadgets and somebody's playing this for you and you can log on to a website, go ahead and take a look at us. CrocVIP.com/ And it's podcast. You cannot miss it. And coming soon, we will have actual video versions of this on YouTube. We're working on it.
Oh, Angel, thank you for telling me that. That's great.
Oh, and listen, surprises are surprises, baby.
Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you for everything. I'm looking forward to doing our Monday joint podcast after this is done. You are a wonderful man and you have a wonderful podcast. You're a very spiritual man and you have a lot of great things to say to help our survivors. I would suggest and request that they check you out. Rod Friedman, I actually have a meeting with Rod on Monday night to go over the modules and see how we're doing with things. And looking really forward to see his beautiful face. He's been in Atlanta, I think, working for a while. And he's just a tremendous guy. If you guys happen to have a small business or interest in doing things in the computer world or need some advice or consulting, Rod Friedman, Small Biz Up, would be your guy. Our board of directors, Angel, tremendous, talented people. I called Alan Thompson the other day. He's recovering very nicely from his stroke. We wish him blessings and quick recovery. Alan, we miss you and we can't wait to get you back. We have a great need for survivorship diversity that you need to help us with. Thank you for being you. You're a tremendous asset to us on the board and we can't wait to get you back. To the rest of the board, thank you for believing in us and spending your time and your hard, your time is a gift and you guys spending your time on our board and helping our survivors is greatly appreciated. And of course, you know, our sponsors, my friend, Michael John Benzea, we're going to try to get him up for dinner one of these nights. I'll tell you, Angel, maybe you could stop by. And also, of course, Charlotte Larson, who's just hit her kindness is our gratitude is inexpressible. And of course, lastly, what do we always say, Angel? We talk to our survivors. We give them a little pep talk. We do a little Newt Rockne. We tell them, you know, we hit them on the shoulder pads and we bang their helmets. And we say, you guys are doing an amazing job. You're going to win this. You're going to beat this. You got this. We are here for you. We adore you. We respect you. We hold you up. We pray for you. If there's anything we can do, you know where to reach us. And in closing, on behalf of Angel and the board of directors, we always wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.